Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of An Author's Kiss right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy. My wonderful guest is James Jim B. Flaherty. We're going to be talking about I'm not old. No, he's not old. We're not old. Age is just a number. He says, I am not old. I'm only 88. And, you know, beautiful story on longevity. This is where I first found him. And I loved the article on the whole attitude of age, it just being a number, kind of recognizing there's some things that slow down as we get older, but there's some things that wise up. And I really encourage you to read this article. It is attached to his show page, but it really is fun and at the same time, really kind of really interesting in looking at age. He is an author. We're going to be talking about Embrace Your Age. You can be better than ever. He's also got some other books here. Dear Old Ones, Stay Young and Stop Thinking Old. I Love Your Life Every Day. And he's also got another one called The Role of a Lifetime. And also Claire, A Wife, Mother, Mistress, Murderer. Whoa, very intriguing. So there's a lot that we've got to talk about today, but I really do want to direct on to age. He says, embrace your age. Can be better than ever because it speaks to the subject of aging cheerfully and productively. He says, who is an optimist at 88 years young, I'm not going to say old, going on 58, says embrace youngage nails and your self-doubts, insecurities, whether you're 40, 90, or in between, with some direct calls to action. Besides acknowledging your bathroom mirror as your most meaningful psychiatrist, clarity makes you confront your toughest critic, yourself, and gives you the emotional ammunition to point of view of which will help you wake up to the right side of the grass tomorrow with a smile and a purpose. He challenges you to summarize your life as a six-word statement. For himself, he says, I am present, living, giving, loving. You'll find wisdom, loving guidance, a few honest laughs. And he did really say that, and in the easy to read shot of adrenaline. This isn't just another one of those smile and whole world smiles with you books. Each chapter, which are not lengthy or overwordly, ask a question and most are going to make you think. For example, why do you exist? Do you think you're a little weird? Yes. Do you think you're old? No. How are you going to handle this when it dies? Well, how are they going to handle this when you die? You know him well enough at first name. I was thinking of you when he wrote this book. You'll find it very personal. He is personal. He's had a hell of an interesting life. Self-made, corner office, madman in New York City for years or abroad, raising two children who still enjoys him. Grandsons from Japan to Brooklyn, and almost too many friends. He tells them straight up, get your act together, stop whining, we've got things to do. And at 88, he's still writing every day, has preached at his church, is a public speaker, a terrific joke teller. You'd like him. He says he needs an agent to sell his novels and film producers. He also has a TV series and screenplay in his portfolio. And you'll learn something about getting more out of yourself when you read his Embrace Your Age. You can never ever be better. I just love the attitude. And let's face it, quite honestly, age is an attitude. Yeah, it's a number. It's the years that we've lived here. But it is an attitude of how we look at that age, isn't it, Jim?
After that introduction, I feel that there's probably golden rays of light coming down and a halo appeared. My God, Sarah. I haven't sounded that good in years.
Again, all perspective, right? Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. I like whoever's writing for you.
It is all a perspective. It's all an attitude, yeah. Right? It's just how you look at life.
When I wrote my first book about AZ, I had a subtitle I loved. I didn't use it because it wasn't speaking to the market, which is a pain in the neck. But I always loved it. I loved the line. I still use it when I'm talking, which is, I wrote the book. I said it's a loving reminder that the band won't stop playing till you stop dancing.
You know? I love that. Why was that taken away?
Yeah, I don't know, but I still love it, and I still think of it. I think it's very important.
And yes, it's as we age, we do slow down. Some things begin to creak, you know, mm-hmm. and you know sometimes mm-hmm. it might be memory, it might be body, it might be this and that. But what we've gained through the experience of life, the wisdom, the perspective, the view on life, what really is important, is golden. And you can't get that in your youth. It is something you acquire through living life. And when you really look at it, you realize what a true gift of life is.
Oh, absolutely. I've started a new book on this wonderful subject of aging cheerfully and productively, which is the way I title when I'm giving public speaking. But the working title, I was in running a workshop recently, and I heard myself say, "Did you ever think that your last 20 years could be your best 20 years?"
Yes.
And I'm using that as a working title of my new book because I like that thought, because it's true. People say, "Come on, Flaherty, you know, tell the truth. You know, I'll be 89 in September." They said, "You're closer to death now. You know, aren't you kind of concerned about it?" And I said, "No, not really. I'm living today. I embrace every day. Every day is a gift. Every day is a gift, and I'm doing some things that have a 5-year and 10-year payout if they bear fruit, because I assume I'm going to be around."
And that's a good attitude to have, because we never know. We never, never know. And, you know, I'd say, you know, we're not ready for death. We've just discovered life.
Right.
You know, I'm 69. I turned 70 in October. Mm-hmm. I started this new venture of podcasting when I was 57. I had no idea where it was going to take me. I've had 12 years now. Branched out into podcast books and mentorship programs, etc. And it's like the journey has been extraordinary. I have changed so much for it, from, you know, listening to the stories and the illumination and the wonderment and the skills and everything else that I've done over 3,000 shows. And it's been an illumination for me. It's shed light on my purpose. And I think that's one of the big things that people miss in life. What is your meaningful purpose? What gets you up every day? Not the paycheck, right? The paycheck, the payoff. The payoff is being a part of something that really is meaningful, where you feel that you're contributing something that is beneficial to mankind, or a humankind, or animal kind, planet kind, just benefiting someone.
Absolutely. Well, I love that you mentioned something that I'd forgotten that I'd even told you about it. This, and I say it to people, if you can put in 6 words who you are, the essence of you, of what you represent and what you want to be, it's wonderful, because in it, everyone should have a purpose. You need a purpose so that you can wake up in the morning and hopefully wake up with a smile.
Yes.
You know, I mean, to be the joy of waking up every day and saying, "Hot damn, I've got another opportunity see, hear, taste, touch, smell, love, embrace, share." Yeah. You know, I mean, it's so incredible. And when I see people that are retreating from life saying, "Oh, you know, I can't do it, and I'm going to do it," and I say, "You're making me crazy."
they've already decided one foot in the grave. And I'm sorry, the grave ain't getting me until, and in fact, it's not going to get me either. I'm going into ashes. But, you know, it's, you know, the land is for the living, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
And I will go up when I go up in flames, you know, then I'm leaving my legacy. Until then, I'm living. And until the very point, I can't live anymore.
As we said a moment ago, the band won't stop playing till you stop dancing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's an old saying, not one I made up, but it is true. You are as old as you think. And if you think old, you get old.
Exactly.
You know,
Exactly.
you really do. I love one of my favorite people in the world was George Bernard Shaw. And Bernard wrote a wonderful line, I thought, one I still love. I've written and posted in my office. You don't stop laughing because you get old. You get old because you stop laughing.
I agree. I agree. I agree. It's that when we, I have a condition I have to live with, right? It's something I've had for the last 27 years, and as I get older, it probably may get a little bit more difficult. What I do is I look at what I can do, right? And put my love and energy in what I can do, and what I can't do, I simply can't do. Why am I focusing on that?
That's
Right?
right.
Focus on what you can do. Yes, as we get older, certain things may slow down. Right, memory may be not as sharp, physical is not as active as it used to be, except for my dear little 90-year-old. I mean, she could outrun me, and she's just incredible. She's strong as an ox, and it's just amazing. Tiny little dot, she's got a black belt, she could probably still toss someone, and she certainly believes that she can. Yes, her short-term memory is going, so somebody needs to help with that. But as far as everything else is concerned, the exuberance for life is very much there, and that is the key. That's the ingredient. Exuberance for life.
It really
Getting
is.
up every day, whether it's a purpose or whether it's just the joy of living, right?
Another thing I like to say to groups when I walk out on a stage, which is always a strange feeling when you walk out to a live audience and you're alone on stage,
Yes, yes.
and I'll look at everybody and I'll say, "Do you know that right this moment, as we're talking, right this very moment, you are the oldest you've ever been." You know, they go, "Oh God." I said, "But before you start planning your funeral, may I remind you that you are also the youngest you'll ever be. So what are your plans for the rest of the week or for the next decade?"
Yes,
You can't, I mean, we can't go, it would be lovely to say, "Well, I haven't done everything right. And God, if I could just go back and start over." Well, we can't go back and start over, folks. But what we can do is start right now and change the end of the story.
we can
You
pivot
know,
directions. We don't have to stay where we're at.
absolutely.
If you're unhappy there, I mean, I don't know how many people I've interviewed their 50s or 60s and said, I was in a job I was good at, but I hated it. I retired, and then I actually found something I really loved to do. And now I'm in my 70s. The oldest person I've interviewed was 92. She has her own TV show. She must be 94 now. She took a new lover at 90. She's got chutzpah, absolutely chutzpah. You would love her. Another one who's 84, all the way through COVID, for 2 years, she did a poem every single day. And
Oh,
she's out there
God.
playing the piano at senior homes and dancing. And again, it's about life. The thing they have in common, though, is they've had things in their life that nearly took their life away or nearly took their freedom away. So from that, and like my little 9-year-old, she had polio for 4 years. Her twin sister died, right? Her fiance 4 days before they got married was killed. She knows what loss
Oh
is,
my God.
but she chose to look at what gain is. And that's the difference, I think. I found that people who have had a near death or have had a loss or been suppressed somewhere along the life have made a choice to look at life in gratitude and be grateful for the little things they have and be exuberant about it. And that gratitude for the little things have magnified and magnified throughout their life.
It is so true, Sarah. And this is almost the same as people that have, as your friend did, underwent polio, or I know people that have gone through terrible cancers and
Yes,
terrible
yes.
surgeries and recovered.
That's my sister.
An
For
another
so
form
many.
of where I didn't physically have to lie on the table with the bright lights and somebody say, you know, smile, you know, as they're sticking something into me. And anybody who's done this knows that it's as close as you come to thinking my life is over. is if you become a caregiver
Yes.
for somebody who
Yes.
has dementia or Alzheimer's. And I became a caregiver for dementia. And for 3.5 to 4 years, I disappeared. I did manage to write a book or two during that period because it was the only thing I could do because 24/7,
Yes.
I was there saying, it's okay. Everything's going to be fine. And you watch somebody you love drift away cell by cell or day by day, or looking at television and say, is she the president? I say, oh no, baby, she wasn't elected. Oh, that's good, because I thought, yeah. You're absolutely right. Once you've gone through that and it was over, I thought, God, am I still alive? And I came back to life
Yes.
20 years younger. I
Yes.
swear I did. I swear I did. Can I do it's a commercial for an organization
Yes,
that I
yes.
absolutely love, and I would love all of your listeners to take advantage of it. It's called, and it's in keeping with what we're talking about, Modern Elder Academy. Okay, I'll just say MEA from now on. If everybody would write modernelderacademy.com and say, put me on the free, it's free, a mailing list, and they'll get a daily blog that is so intelligent and so wonderful. And then they have workshops in the Baja of California on the Mexico side. And now they have a new campus in Santa Fe. And I'm going to be teaching some workshops on blue zones, talking about aging. You know what the blue zones are, Sarah?
No,
You
actually, I
have.
don't. Actually, I'd love you to
Okay,
elaborate on that.
we will get on to that, but I would like everybody to look into Modern Elder Academy. It's quite brilliant, but in there, in all of their studies, because they're based on taking people in the messy middle, which they call ranges from 35 to 75, and because everyone is going through transitions
Oh,
and
it's
messy middle,
yes.
and what are they going to do? And they went from adolescence to middle essence to elder essence. And they're having people move into this third and fourth quarter of their life with cheerfulness and productivity. And it's wonderful. But I love some of the statistics. These are actual statistics that the low curve of mankind for self joy, self-realization is age 48. And that in most, if your act is together, you increase in happiness and productivity in your 50s and 60s. I mean, absolutely. So I thought that was wonderful, and I'm very happy about it. Later on, if you'd like, I'll tell you about blue zones. It's
Yep,
very
most certainly. Most
it's an
certainly.
interesting area.
I think a lot of the time people, kind of think, well, what else is there? And the thing is, there is so much. There is so much,
The
like
world.
if there's what did and a lot of people kind of realize, I loved doing that as a child, but then I went and got a quote real job and stepped into real responsibilities. Now I've done that, 2.2 kids, divorce, retired. Now I can actually do something I love. And it's like find something you love to do. And very often, if you look back, look at yourself as a child. What was it that you did well, that you loved to do, that you got satisfaction of? And don't get, oh, that was a young thing. No. Okay. How can you adjust it to where you're at now? How can you take it that it can fit your life now and fit a meaningful purpose now? Because yes, there are different chapters in our book of life. And there are different types of energies and different types of time periods when you can do this, that, etc. But that doesn't mean just because you're not in your 20s anymore and you can't do X, Y, and Z, it doesn't mean that you can't take an aspect of what something you love so much and adjust it to where you're at now, right? And do it now. And that's the thing is we limit ourselves. And I think a lot of people who are older, we've been waiting for permission to place value And love and res self-respect on ourselves, because we were brought up to be dutiful. Everybody else had to be served, not ourselves. Now I'm asking you to be selfish. Be selfish and do things for you, because the more you love what you're doing, the more you step into your exuberance, the more your cup going to run off over, and the more that people are going to want to be around you.
You said a magic word when you said you've got to be selfish. Just yesterday, I think it was, I was talking to somebody and they said, "How are you, Jim? What's go-?" We hadn't talked for a while. Said, "What's going on in your life?" And I said, "You know, something I just realized is that when you wake up in the morning, in various times of your life, you wake up and what is the first word, first thought you have? And it's when you're young and you're madly in love, it's that thought of that person, how much, you know, and then you have children who come in and out of first person place. They're not there every day unless you're dealing with a crisis, in which case they become number one all the time. And then, of course, the job takes over and you become, oh, my God, Christ, I'm in the corner office and I'm 33 years old. And can I cope with it? Do I know what I'm doing, or is it all fake?
Does everybody know I'm a fraud?
They know that I'm total fraud. You know, and here I am saying, oh, yes, it's fine. Do this, do that.
The fake until we make it, right?
And then you do things. At any rate, I told them, I said, you know, for the first time in my entire life, here I am 3 months shy of turning 89 years old. And I, for the first time in my life, I wake up in the morning and say, I wonder what Jim wants to do or has to do or is going to do today. For the first time in my life, the only time in my life that I've been able to have a thought about me first thing in the morning. And I thought, God, that's selfish. That's terrible. And then I thought, is it terrible? I thought, no, damn it.
No,
it's not terrible.
It isn't.
No, I have the right to do that. Because exactly. My whole life was, as you said, we were raised, I lived up to my obligations.
Exactly.
I had a responsibility. I had a wife to take care of. I had children to take care of. And then I did some weird things too. I called it crap shooting with your life. When the kids were 9 and 11, I came home and said, pack. And they said, where are we going, Daddy? I said, we're moving 6,500 miles to Buenos Aires, Argentina. They said, and Kelly, the elder, who was smart then, and she's smarter now. So my baby will turn 64 in July. And she said, I suspect it's going to be with a different language. I said, it will indeed. And we moved for 4 years to Argentina, where I had a big job. I was creative director of J. Walter Thompson there. And it's wonderful. Then I came back to New York. And then when I was on top of the mountain at age 45, with no reason, I wasn't being pressured at all, I jumped off the mountain and started a business I knew nothing about. I created a country inn conference center out of an abandoned stack of stone and worked 70 hours a week for at least 10 years to make it happen. And it did. Yes. It became nationally famous. And I thought, wasn't that good? It woke me up. I was so busy, I had no time to go through midlife crisis. I was working my fanny off.
I mean, that's a big thing that, you know, so many people want to live their life and like kind of paint by numbers. You know, give me the manual and I'll walk forward. And I go, no. What, you know, I would talk about fear a great deal, and that's the common sense fear. You know, don't put your hand in the fire. Don't walk in front of a bus. Pay attention to the hairs on the back of your neck. You know, those are common sense fears. And those fears that keep us alive. But the fear of the unknown needs to be removed and changed with the wonderment, the exploration, the adventure, the inquisitiveness of the unknown. Let fear travel, the common sense fear travel with you. It will keep you safe on that journey. But if we don't step into, oh, instead of what if, go, what if? What am I going to discover? Every job I've ever gone into, I've talked myself into, and I've had no idea if I could do it or not. Right? And found out on
Right.
the job whether I could or not. And that's been my kind of motto in life. My first podcast, I pressed all the wrong buttons, and it was live. Right? Live for 13 months before I started my own, and it was a really good training ground. I call it the soap opera training ground because you're in it right there. You discover your strength, your courage, and your abilities when you're willing to allow yourself to take the journey, to discover the paths. Am I going to go on this beaten path, or am I going to go and beat a path, right? And make a path for myself. And there's times you take the beaten path because, yes, that's where you're at. And there's another time where you throw off the top of the mountain and go, I'm going to start something all of my own, and I'm going to beat the path. But the reward at the end of that path, knowing that this is what you did, you allowed yourself, you trusted yourself, you believed in yourself in order to go and do it. And the satisfaction of when it reaches that goal is beyond, beyond.
I'm feeling every word of that. Much of my life, probably the only I've told my children, and I feel in my heart how sad I am for families who have had tragedies. You know, a tragedy is a tragedy, and you obviously you can't plan for it, but there's the plane crash, the car crash, the something bad.
Even the dementia.
I said to the daughters, I said, can you imagine how fortunate we've been as a family with my two daughters, that we, the three of us and our immediate families, in especially in your young years, as your boys were growing up, I have four millennial grandsons. I said, we've had no tragedies. And I said, and we haven't lived a nice, safe front porch life, swinging in the empty tire off the tree next door. You know, I moved here to Argentina, and we climbed over Machu Picchu, and we walked the Great Wall of China, and we did, you know, we did things, and it was magic and fun, and how lucky we are to not have had to do all those things. And I look back at my life, I wasn't a tragedy, but it was very sad. My father, who was the district attorney of the city of Miami, when Miami was a big town or a small city, I don't know which, back in the 40s. And he went in the hospital one Sunday and died the next Sunday at age 47. And he was young and vigorous and handsome and wonderful. And my mother was beautiful and talented. And she said, I didn't want you to know till in your right then, when I was 14 going on 11. I wasn't that super hip.
Yes,
I was a nice kid, a really good kid. She said that I was beating my head against the wall and screaming at God. I didn't think you wanted to know it. But she was very smart, and she taught me some great things that I find myself at 88 still, I can still hear her voice. I mean, and she was never a nag. She went through all kinds of cancers, never whined once, never heard a single complaint. But besides things like, you can never be too clean, because she was a nurse also. But she taught me, I think I must have been in college. She said, every morning of your life, you're going to have to face your biggest critic, the most severe person you know in your life, the highest wall you have to hurdle. It's that person in your bathroom mirror.
Yes.
And you can either look at that person and go, good God, another day, or smile bravely and cheerfully at that person and say, good God, another day.
Yes.
And
again, tone.
And,
yes.
And I got that from mother. Yeah. And I do it. I still do it. I laugh at myself. You know, maybe it's not corny, because it's life affirming.
Yes.
Every day I say, good God, another day.
Thank you. You gave me another day.
Another day.
Exactly.
Thank you for
Some similarities is my dad died just shy of 46 of heart disease.
it.
And 4 years before he died, he had a heart attack. And instead of saying to him, change your lifestyle, change your diet, they said, you're going to be dead in 3 to 4 months. And my dad was a fighter pilot in the war, and he was a racing car driver. And he
Oh,
became
God.
that fighter pilot in his life, right? He made life hell for my mother.
Right.
We were in boarding school, so we didn't see the brunt of that, except from when we
Right.
came home. And he became kind of bitter. And really, you know, then obviously death found him because he didn't change his life. My brother
Right.
later had a heart attack. He's had two, but he became a vegan between them. And he had 9 years between them, and it ended up being a heart defect, which was like my father's. So it wasn't lifestyle. It was
Yeah.
more to do with the defect of the heart. But he changed his lifestyle. He walks so much, his vegan
Right.
food, and he's, you know, he's an author, so he pours himself into his books and loves to travel. My mum, who, you know, in England, you know, was well, now you've got to take up good works, dear. And you can't come to parties anymore because you're a single woman. So we moved to South Africa. And I remember one day coming home from school. I was 14 at this point. And I remember coming home from school and seeing a woman with long hair on the back of a motorcycle pull into our driveway. And I thought, who is this? Get home. And
Wow,
there is my
neat.
mother getting off a motorcycle with a long wig, right? Now, this was somebody who was pearls and tweed. She's an actress, beautiful, stunning.
Sure.
And here she is getting off the back of a motorbike with her wig. And she stepped
Love
into, you know, this podcast is self-discovery wisdom. And we discover our wisdom as we get older, right? And we can tap into that wisdom anytime if we open up, but it is our self-discovery. She was in self-discovery of who she was as a woman, not what she was born to, not what life expected of her, not was dictated. Of who Joanna was. And she came to life, completely came to life. And she was, you know, 49 turning 50. I remember she actually, on her passport, changed her date by 10 years.
Did she really?
And she did.
That's
And I think
funny.
she looked
That's
so
very
young and
funny.
vibrant. You know, she was such, you know, and she just loved life at that time, and it was wonderful to see. And kind of I was at that age when I divorced, and I was in my self-discovery, and I was kind of at that age as well. And I kind of understood, you know, for so long you've been the mother, you've been the wife, you've been what everybody else wants you to be. And now it's
Right.
like, well, who the hell am I, right? And yes, I can do this, and yes, I'd
Wow.
love to do that, but who am I? And
Right.
it's that journey of self-exploration. Of who
Right.
am I? What do I love to do? What is my purpose, right? Other than a mother, you know, what is my purpose? And it, that discovery of that wonderment of always what we are. My brother is 74 now. Just interviewed him on his latest book. I'm going to send him this show, by the way, because he'll
Sure.
love it. My sister is 13 years older than me, so she's 80. I'm turning, so yeah, she's 82, turning 83.
82,
The
good.
amount of cancers that she's had and illnesses that she had that should have killed her, and yet
Right.
she's still going. She's just incredible. She's still going. They've just been in Amsterdam walking 18,000 steps a day, you know, the
Well,
two of them.
obviously it runs in the family. Your mother's DNA
Yep.
settled in all of you.
Yes. Well, she was
Really.
95 when she died. That she did spend the last 5 years of her life bedbound, which I think never should have happened,
Who,
but
Joanna?
My mother,
Yeah.
Joanna in England, and that kind of life then started diminishing from her. But it, you know, up until that point, she still had that adventurism of life. And I think my brother puts it in his books. He loves to travel and things like, but he puts it
Good.
in his books. And every time you go on his book journey, I think you'll love his last one. You know, it's about a guy who's retired from NASA looking for a part for a Studebaker and finds a runaway kid.
Are you gonna tell me the name so I can buy it?
You know what I'm saying? It's right here. It is right here. The Restoration of Amy by Sam Hawksmoore.
All right, Sam Hawksmoore.
Hawksmoore, Sam Hawksmoore, and all of his books, they take you on adventures. He's written
The
for you of
restoration of
Restoration
Amy.
of Amy. And
Okay,
it's, you know,
I'm
she's a
going to
runaway.
buy it.
And yeah, it's all on Amazon and everything. And it's, and I've done a show. I always do a show on his latest book. But I always love, because I kind of very often read them while they're in process. right? So, and I get my feedback, etc. But I always find his true living, his true exploration of life is in his books, right? That's where the
That's
true,
interesting.
You know, dimensional travel or the wonderment or the, you know, the mystery and everything else is in his books completely. And, you know, I find that probably mine is through doing this. This is where Sarah is 100% Sarah. I mean, Sarah may change slightly to the expectations of people around me, but here I am Sarah. And I think that's one of the important things in as you get older. You've lived up to your duty. I've still got a duty. I'm moving in a couple of weeks to be closer to my daughter and my two grandsons so I can help her with the grandsons. Good. One turns one this week, one's three. And so I'm going to be there to help a couple of days a week and, you know, in emergencies or just time, just being closer to them, which is wonderful. Right. And they're there for me in my old age, right? They bought me a home so that I could do this. So I'm extremely grateful.
That's very sweet.
And the thing about life is, yes, you get to, you can be selfish, but we also are still give and take, right? We're still give and take. I mean, people will give to you and you still kind of can take and receive, but you also are still giving. And we could be selfish in what we do, but we're in the selfishness of what we do, it's still giving. It's still contributing, right? It's just finding out what is it? Is it volunteer work? Is it helping your neighbor with groceries? Is it writing a book? Is it Sunday going on stage? You know, is it mentoring somebody? We've all got something to give to others, right?
Absolutely.
It's just discovery of what it is.
I'm getting back to my...
I am present, living, giving, and loving. Yes.
And I have it taped to the bottom of my monitor. So I mean, I see it all day long, every day, and that is who I'm supposed to be. And I am, another statistic that came out of all, I do a lot of reading about aging and what happened. Some interesting things. I said to one, I was in a webinar the other day with about 50 people in it, and I said, and it was a Sunday, and I said, who went to church today? And everybody went, I think one person raised their hand. I said, an interesting statistic is that, and this shows in the blue zones, which we'll talk about later, that people who have a toehold in faith, if you go to a church of your choice and faith of your choice four times a month, you will live 5 to 8 years longer. You know, and I have a very close friend who's a rabbi, and he calls me a collapsed Catholic, because, which I love, because I'm an elder, that is a directing, voting director of a Presbyterian church, and am the assistant, I'm the assistant choir director and singer of the choir.
So
my friends say, with your mouth, they let you into a church. I have a writer's mouth, very censorable. But I said, I know when I can and can't talk the way like a writer. some of my writing probably shows that. But I think that's.
I agree with the faith. It doesn't actually have to be church, because what I have found is so many people have stepped into faith of spirituality. I call it higher consciousness, divine essence. That's what I call the wisdom. Opening up to that divine wisdom, letting it be your compass, letting it resonate with your heart and truth, giving it to your spirit in action for your mind to know what it needs to know when it needs to know it, thus giving it clarity.
Right.
And I think I'm very much a woman of faith, of the universal energy, of love. Of love and truth and clarity. And I think, yes, I do agree that when people believe in something, that is their compass, can you help me? God, universe, God, spirit, source, doesn't matter what people want to call it. It's believing in a higher consciousness than themselves and looking at it for guidance, and that compass that really resonates with your heart. You know when it's the truth, and you can't wait to share that. Right, and exude it out, because that is its purpose. So whether it's church or whether it's spirituality or whether it is in service in some way.
In service. Right? Service is something else I talk about to people. I say, they say, I don't know what to do. And I say, volunteer.
Yes,
Then
yes, yes, yes.
you'd be amazed how much your local hospital needs.
Yes, yes.
Or you go to the library and say, can we have a program to help children? Can I go read to children? And
Yes.
if you're bilingual, go work with your other language. Fortunately, my years of living in Latin America, then after Buenos Aires, I had a home in Mexico for 25 years. So I am casi Latino. I can
Right.
completely turn on Latino any minute,
Great.
which is fine. What else
But
did I
that's the
want
point,
to
isn't it? It's whether it's animals, whether it's food banks, whether it's, you
do?
know, whatever it is it, there is so
Yeah.
much out there that's calling for people to come and help, to show your
Right.
compassion. I did a show this last week on empathy. And it's actually a really great book. It's, you know, the geniuses of empathy here. And
Yeah.
it's really not just talking about empathy, which is touchy-feely and sensitive. It's
Yeah.
about how to have empathy and how to practically use it. How to
Right.
practically
Nice.
show empathy to people, but and understanding what empathy is to us. And I think we've become so guarded, and we see this a lot in our millennials. I've got three millennials myself. And it, you know, we see a lot of it is. A lot of it, I just don't want to know about that, especially politics. They look at it and go, just it's a sewage pit. I just don't want to know about it. But you've got to understand that if you don't step into a solution or an option on the other side, these
Right.
people win. And it's,
Right.
you know, we've got to have that certain amount of empathy for the world and what can I do about it? And sometimes it might just be you and your attitude, your approach to life is what we need. You know, compassion and empathy and love. If we step into that and kindness, we are already the solution.
Wonderful. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk to you about. Let me have a minute on the blue zones. Blue zones
Yes,
were
yes, yes.
discovered by a fellow named Dan Buettner, who was oh he rode a bicycle from the tip of Alaska to the tip of South America, and then he rode a bicycle across Europe, across Russia in the wintertime,
Wow.
and through Africa. I mean, I said, you're a complete nutcase.
Yes.
But while doing it, he discovered five places in the world where there are more centenarians than any place else in the world,
Yes.
right? Okinawa, Ikaria, Greece, a place in Sardinia, Loma Linda, California, and the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica. And he wrote books about them. And I said, why are they called the Blue Zones? Because that's fascinating. He said, I was working on the first book, and the employer said, Dan, you can't just call it the five places with more centenarians. It's got to have a name. And he said, so I wrote down, and I had written subtitles with blue ink, so I called them the Blue Zones. I said, Jesus God, Dan. But he then proceeded to write five books and become multi-millionaire. And he's
Right.
a darling man and well worth it. And what came out of the Blue Zones is that the people live where they walk, they don't ride.
Yes.
They have a religious connection. They're still working. They have a more plant-based diet
Yes,
than
yes,
not.
yes.
And most of all is, besides multi-generational living, three generations at a table, is that they all have friends around them. So
Yes,
then,
community.
looking at that, and they said that was absolutely the most important reason why they were living to 100, 105, and still cheerful and doing. There's been a study, which you may know about. It's a fascinating study. It's called the Harvard, I'm making up the title, actually the title, the Harvard Study of Adult Human Behavior. It's the longest study in recorded history. It's an 85-year study.
Wow.
They took roughly, I'll be going to even off the numbers, 400 high-end Harvard juniors and seniors, even though some were on financial support, and 400 people from low-end Boston, from deprived neighborhoods, and studied them for 85 years. 85 years, kept and documented and in
Excellent.
person and everything. And they found the same degree of happiness in the low end as in the high end. And it came down primarily to, yes, there were other things. choosing the right mate, having a satisfactory job, living in the right place. But
Diet.
it was pri diet, taking care of yourself. But it was primarily connections. It was having the connections and having friends. And statistically, they say most Americans say they have three best friends, but that's a lie. Most of them don't have two best friends that they could really name, say, these are the people that would cry, die if I died, that would take a bullet for me, as we're talking emotionally. And it's very sad. And I say to people, you're sitting at home alone for sake. You're making me nuts.
Exactly. Now, there's a few things I want to address here.
Yes,
Little
ma'am.
side set here. One of the things that I've done, which I'm very proud of, is that we've produced this book, Our Forgotten Children book.
Oh,
It's
great.
15 chapters. I contributed one, 14 other people on what's wrong with our system in raising our children, the lack of support for families, what we need to do about it. This is book one. It's a fundraiser as well. All the money gets distributed amongst organizations that each author supports. Now, the
Okay.
next book, this will is book one of this. Book two will come out next year, but the next book that I'm doing, which I would love you to be a part of,
I'd
which we're
love to.
starting in the fall, is Our Forgotten Seniors.
Oh, I'd love to.
You'd be a perfect
Please.
candidate for it because what we're looking for, we're in a Western society that after a certain age, you get thrown away, you get dismissed, you get discarded. And I 100% agree with you. The village that stays together and supports each other stays strong, right? The community that celebrates everybody at every age, at every contribution, is going to stay strong. We're in a society where once you've reached a certain age, you're obsolete. New and shiny. Oh God, I don't want to deal with the old. And we see this in old age homes. We see this in Western society, especially where there is not the honoring of the contribution that the aged have given to society. As I point out, that phone you're so absolutely enthralled with did not come from a teenager. It came from people that had to break that ceiling, had to face the adversity that had to go bankrupt, like BlackBerry, et cetera, right? So it is through trial and tribulation that you have what you have today. And if we don't teach people, where things came from, if we don't teach them how to fish, if we don't teach them how to seed, if we don't teach them how to grow, then they think everything comes from center aisle of the supermarket, right? Or everything is just Amazon delivery. And I think that our elders have still so much to give. And there's still so much more that we need to do in appreciating. And if you discard someone and say, well, you're obsolete now, then what does that do to them? Instead of saying, you're a mountain full of information, I would love to gather some of your wisdom, then that becomes something that is so very important to why are we not honoring our seniors? So I will give you more information about it. I want the book to be start written in the fall for it to come out for Christmas. But that is the next book on the philanthropy side that goes with it. And the podcasts go with it and our summits go with it and everything, but it is the conversation on
I'm
the
about to have a TEDx talk posted, and my TEDx talk is about, do you know that there are 7.5 million depressed seniors out there, most of them living alone, and we, you and I, can help them. Don't take them to lunch. Take them a good idea. Join a book club. Take a painting class.
Get
Come
them
to
to be
church.
incorporated in something. Engage them in something,
That's the whole point of my TEDx talk. So I will make that available to you also, because it really does fit in precisely with the quality.
Excellent.
If I have 1 minute, I'm going to tell you
You've got plenty of time.
last. It's one of my favorite stories of growing up. I was raised with the golden rule, which I don't know whether you know the golden rule. The golden rule, as it now exists, was started back before Confucius' time, and then has been used in one shape or form by every religion in the world. But the golden rule, the way it grew into America, and I thought, how strange, as a writer, I thought the idea is good, but the words were awkward. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Okay,
Exactly.
that's the golden rule.
Yes.
Okay. So I was raised with that. My mother
Yes, me
said,
too.
I just hammered it into my head. And as I got older and I became a writer, because I've been a writer since day one, since the moment I got my college degree, I've been earning my living at the keyboard. And I said, there's got to be a better way to say that. And so I rewrote it. You get what you give. And I raised my children with that. You get what you give. And I said, let me explain it. If you give a sympathetic ear and really listen, if you give a loving hug, if you give a generous heart, you get it back. And if all you do is bitch and moan and complain and demand and criticize, that comes back and bites you, you
Exactly.
know where, somewhere behind you
Absolutely.
know. And I say, so give good, get good. It's and I say I lecture it to people. I say, go out and start using some magic words. Thank you. Say to the lady checking out your groceries,
Look at them in the eye.
aren't you sweet putting all my frozen goods together? I appreciate that. She'll smile back and she'll not only smile at you, she'll turn to the next customer with a smile. You happiness and
Begets happiness.
courtesy begets happiness.
Absolutely.
You
You
know,
know, I always say,
and I think, God.
you receive what you give.
Yes,
Right? So if
always.
you're going to put out, you know, and the thing is, like, we look at all tech things as algorithms, right? So
Yeah.
the more you feed one thing, the more stories or people they're going to give you on that. So I don't get the hateful rhetoric because I do not feed it. I
No.
feed the positive, the encouragement. I'm there for people when they need it. They're there for me when I need it. I'll give you a quick little story to show how beautiful and powerful that is. My mom was 95. She was very, very sick. She was dying,
Yeah.
but she just couldn't cross over. And it was a
Yeah.
very dull day. They created a bedroom in the living room, which was a big bay window. And my brother had said goodbye. He was going off for a respite for a couple of days. My sister was there. And she said, I'm just going to go make a cup of tea, Mum. And when she came back in, the sunlight was streaming through the window right on my mother, and her eyes and her hands were open. But 24 hours, and she peacefully passed. 24 hours prior to that, I put out on Facebook, my mom needs help in crossing over. She needs prayer. She needs positive, you know, loving energy. She needs that.
Good.
I had 120 people, not just likes, but say blessings for your mother, prayers for your mother, this for your mother. In less than 24 hours, she had crossed over peacefully. That is the power of energy.
Yes,
Everything we
right.
put out in whatever intention of that energy is what's going to be received. So we need to be mindful of our anger or our rhetoric,
Oh.
you know, on harming people. But we can also send loving energy to people anywhere in the world, and they may never know it came from you, but they feel it in some form or other.
You would love to have my baby daughter, who just turned 62 last week. She's a shaman in the UK, and she teaches from fear into love and to and energy and because
She's welcome. That's exactly
she's
what we're
full of
about
all
here.
that. Yeah,
Yes, absolutely.
I'll have her get in touch with you also, Sarah.
But
God,
you know,
this is
getting
so
back.
much fun. It's
No, I
like
know. I'm
t I have
delighted
ever.
and delighted you are part of the book.
Were we married? Were we both butterflies in Cleveland? I mean,
Yes,
how do
we
we
had
know?
no, and that's the thing is that, you know,
I mean,
when you
we've.
find people that are on the same wavelength, the same frequency, we realize, just like if you look at the heart, you know, valves and fiber optics, and you look that of a tree, they're the
Yeah.
same. We are the same. And you know, one of the other people I have on here is Tom Palladino, and he
Oh,
uses
yeah.
Nikola Tesla's
Right.
technology. And the last one we did was actually finding that this technology is actually having a positive effect on cancer. But you know, he shows the wand that he used, and you can see it very, very clearly. It is actually a DNA strand. That light, that scalar light, is a DNA strand. So he actually that uses that DNA strand to match our DNA strand in healing. Right. And this is the thing, a lot of people go, but how can that be done? How can it be done by a photograph? And I think one of the things we need to understand, as we talked about at the beginning, the positive attitude, the getting up every day with great gratitude,
Right.
every single thing has an energy signature. Absolutely every particle of us. And
Of
the more
course.
we feed positivity, the more we believe in health and abundance, the more we choose to feed
Absolutely.
out that energy, the more we beget it.
Absolutely. I mean, I've used the words over and over. I use it all the time. I said, I want you to greet every day as a gift
Yes.
and to have that attitude of good God,
Yes.
another day.
Yes,
Wow.
exactly.
And I don't know. I know that every day, some days are going to be more productive than others, but I start out every day thinking, this is really going to be a great day.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying this. I do feel as if we've known one another for a long time.
It's
Because
because we're on
you,
the same wavelength, left. We're still
yeah.
there on the same vibe. And that's saying find your vibe tribe, right?
Right.
Find your vibe
Yeah.
tribe. Because when you're in that
Yes.
vibe tribe, there's unlimited amount of
Right.
beautiful energy that you could share. And of course,
That's
you know,
right.
here are your four books, you know, Claire, Wife, Mother, Mistress, Murderer, Embrace Your
Murder.
Age. You could be better than ever. Dear old friends, stay young, stop thinking old, and love your life every day and the role of a lifetime. And all of these can be found on Amazon and also on your site. And your site, of course, is
Is
your
just my
name,
name,
right?
jamesbflaherty.com.
Let's spell the Flattery so people know how to
All
spell.
right, Flaherty or Flaherty, however you wish to pronounce it. It is F like Fred, Flaherty. Flaherty.
So
Flaherty.
jamesbflaherty.com. Talk to
Okay.
me at jamesbflaherty.com. You're on
Yes.
LinkedIn under your name. You're on
Yes.
Instagram under your name. You're under Facebook. You're under Twitter. And you've also got a YouTube. So, I mean, you know, you're right in it, man. Who says that age is a block to stop us? And of course, I really do want people, you know, to read that wonderful story of yours because that is, you know, that's what enticed me to you right from the word go. You know, it's just lovely because it's a really wonderful approach to life and that it is a gift.
Thank you.
And
Yeah.
you know, as I said, yes, as you get older, can I do what I did in my 20s? Absolutely not, right?
But
But
maybe you can do more.
I can do
Because you're
more
smarter. You're a hell of a
spiritually,
lot
intellectually,
smarter.
vibrationally, heavenly, so much more. You know, this spirit that I was as a young woman, I didn't quite know how to harness that spirit or how to use it in the way. And then through the years of experience and also now the permission with the energy rising, the conscious energy rising, I've been able to step in to the gift that I was given of sight, of seeing, of touching and feeling is because now we are more open and receptive to it because they keep turning the volume up of our awareness. And more our consciousness opens up, the more and more we become aware of the gifts that we are, what we really have to share, and how we can really step into it. Whereas in the past, you talked about talking with dead entities and dimensional travel, the white coats would come and get you. And now
Right.
it's more about tell me more. I do that too. So, you know, that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. I would do this, but at Modern Elder Academy, they instead of applauding, they do this. They call it shining the pearl,
Ah, right. I
which I
like that.
love. It's a lovely way to
Yeah.
applaud. A quickie reminder, the Africans have a wonderful proverb. When an older person dies, they say it's as if a library has burned down.
Yes.
Yes,
Absolutely. I
you
love
know,
that. And if we could look at each other as that, an abundance of information, abundance of wisdom, you know,
Wow.
just hearing the stories, letting your elder tell you a story. And I don't care if you've heard it before and they're repeating it again.
That's
I
right.
guarantee you will learn something different every time they tell you than what you heard before, right?
Right.
Honor them. Don't get pissed off. Honor
No,
them, right?
absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And please don't age before your time. Please. Age is just a number. Yes, it's a number that's
Absolutely.
significant. Absolutely. What do you do
Absolutely.
with that number? What
Yeah,
do you do with your life?
and do take care of yourself.
Yes.
I mean, don't say, well, I'm going to go on smoking. If you do, I'll slap you. I
Yeah.
mean, I've cut myself. I have two meals a day. I have all fruit in the morning, and then I have my dinner at 3:30 or 4. A very healthy dinner, but a big full dinner. with lots of vegetables and wonderful fish and, great thing. It's fine that way.
I'm 80% vegan. We have occasional fish
I'm
and occasional chicken, but I don't you touch my vegetables. I
right,
love my
right, right.
vegetables, right? And I'm oats in the morning, right? And maybe
Good,
a little something in the afternoon if I've got time, and then dinner around 5. And a lot of people say, but why do the elders eat then? Because A, the digestive system works differently as you get older, right? And we and really, it's quite honestly unhealthy to be eating 9, 10 at night, which I
That's
used to because I used to be in
right.
the restaurant business, so my dinner used to be late at
Pro
night,
of course.
and it's not good
Or
for you anyway.
standing up in the kitchen
Yes,
with the
Ogar,
country
yes,
on.
yes.
Good God, how many times did
Oh,
I
I
eat in
know.
10 minutes standing up?
Yes.
And living in Argentina, nothing started till 9 o'clock
Exactly. I know. I know.
at
I know. And the things we can do that when we're younger, but as we get older, no, we can't. So we've also
night.
got to understand our bodies and where our bodies are at now and honor that. Because we can't do and we shouldn't do what we used to do. We need to know where we're at physically, but with the right attitude, with the right exuberance for life, we will, through the sheer divine energy of who we are and what we're here to do, maintain ourselves along with us physically maintaining our well-being as well.
Can I give you one last quickie smile?
Absolutely.
One of my favorite, we all remember the wonderful George Burns. He
Yes.
was a brilliant comedian. He really
Absolutely.
was. And he lived to age 100. And
Yes.
on his 95th birthday, a reporter asked him, "Mr. Burns, George, do you ever worry about dying?" And he said, "I can't die now. I'm booked."
I love that.
I say that in speeches because I say, "I'm booked. I can't
Exactly.
possibly.
You've got a 10-year plan. There's no way you can go
This is my
anywhere.
schedule. This is my
Yes.
schedule. That's my active schedule. And every line of the day.
Right. And
And
for me, it's
it's a full
20 more
schedule."
years of this, I hope, as long as I can still see and hear and talk, I'm at it, right? And then hopefully that legacy gets passed on to someone else who can continue it on. But we're not over until we're over, mate. So stop
That's
burying
right.
yourself before it's time. Right?
That's
Life
right.
is to be lived. Okay. The beautiful thing about slowing down, you pay more attention to the little things in life. You see the little things in life, the little joys in life that you were too busy rushing
Right.
past in the
That's
past.
right. That's
That
right.
sitting with a cup of coffee with a friend on a deck somewhere, on a patio in the garden, having a glass of wine at night, watching the squirrels run up the trees, watching your grandchildren play, all of that slowing down and paying attention. You truly understand the gift of slowness and of silence and of being present, because you can be now.
Silence is wonderful.
Oh, it's silence is fabulous because it reveals so much. It really, really does. So, yes, this has been exuberant. I can't wait for you to be a part of the book. Yes, I'd love to
Oh,
interview your daughter as well.
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Good. I'll make sure you'll hear from Shannon O'Flaherty.
Okay, wonderful. And just for your sheer attitude, as I said, it was your article that I've got to interview this guy. I love his attitude. And
Well,
life
thank
is
you.
an attitude of gratitude. The youngest person I interviewed was 10, and she had written a book, 365 Days of Gratitude with a Positive Attitude. And all it
Wonderful.
was each day, I'm grateful
Oh.
for this today. And it was just so profound and such a reminder to us. Pay
Right.
attention to those beautiful small things, because that's what you're grateful for.
Right.
Not the big things, is it? In the end,
Nah.
it's those small things that are along
Right.
the way.
Right. It is. It absolutely is.
Well, you are an exuberant person. It's wonderful to interview you. I will, when you're for a part of the book, you will be back again on your chapter, and you'll be a part of the summit. And I know you're going to illuminate it all. So don't you
Great.
dare go anywhere. You've got work to do.
Good. Well, call me anytime, Sarah. I would love to do anything you're into. I'm for it.
Absolutely. And for you to be a part of our Forgotten Seniors book, I think will be a wonderful contribution. And the thing is, the more I say, the more we're aware, the more we care. But a lot of the time, people aren't aware, so they don't know what to be care about. When we show them what to be aware of, and we're inviting them to care, we're also inviting them to step up and be a part of the solution.
That's right. Right.
Thank you so much for being here. It's been
Shining
absolute
the
joy. Now remember,
Thank you.
folks, you're never too old. You are never, never too old. That's a number, right? That's a number. If you've still got an exuberance for life, if you've still got a purpose for life, and if you haven't got one, go and get one. Go and volunteer. Go and do something. Go and mix with nature. Go and find something that switches you on, that gets you up every day in joy. The more you step up every day with gratitude and joy and purpose, not only the longer you live, but in those last 20 years or 30 years of your life, you will pack more into that time
That's right.
than you have ever done before.
You can't believe how much.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely. And so, folks, just get out there and do it. Your time isn't up yet, and we need you. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there, and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life. And we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted. And we do hope that you enjoy the next show.